And then Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, we're in the fourth chapter of the 12th Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon says, Shelosha Ketarim, there are three crowns. Ketel Torah, the crown of Torah. Ketel Kehuna, the crown of the Kehuna, what we might translate as priesthood. Ketel Malchut, the crown of the kingship. So those are the three crowns. V'cheter Shem Tov Ole Al Gabein. But there's a fourth crown, it would seem. The crown of a good name goes upon them. What does that mean? Explains Rabbeinu Yonah. Keter Kuna Nitna Levit Aaron. The crown of the Kehuna. So that was given to the house of Aaron, as the verse says, V'hayet Alol Zaro Berit Kehunat Olam. He and his descendants have this covenant of being the Kohanim, that's their covenant forever. Keter Malchut, the crown of royalty, that was Nitan Nebet David, that was given to the house of David. The Pasuk says, Zar'ol Olam Giyeh, V'chisok HaShemesh Negdi, the throne of David will be forever like the sun before me. Keter Torah, the crown of the Torah, that's Munachat Lechol Be'olam, it's there, whoever wants can take it. No one can say, you have to come from family X, you have to come from family Y. HaRotze Liskot Bo Yavo V'yizke. Whoever wants can take hold of the crown of Torah. That's what the Moshe of Zkenim writes, that with regards to the other vessels in the Mishkan, it says, Vasita, in the singular sense, you will do. And when it comes to the Aron, the ark that houses the Torah, there it says, Ve'asu, and they will do. The Aron represents the Torah, and there everyone has a right. The crown of Torah is greater than the crown of royalty and the crown of Kihuna, כמו שאמרו חז"ל, as our sages taught in tractate Yuma, שלושה זרותן. There are three. The word zer literally means like a branch. Zer zahav saviv. You have a little embroidery that runs around the top of the three vessels. You have the shulchan, the table where you had the bread, the lechem hapanim. So there you had coming up around the table this little embroidery of gold that would be like a crown going around the shulchan. And then the inner altar, the mizbeach hapanimi, the inner altar also had a little crown, a little embroidery going around its rim, so it looked like it had a crown. This protrusion of embroidered gold. And then you had on top of the aron also zer zahav saviv, embroidered gold around it. So the Talmud says these three zer, these three crowns, wreaths, these, in ancient times, right, the Greeks had these wreath crowns, crowns of branches that they put around their head. So the zer, these three zeirim, these three crowns, represented the three crowns we just learned about. And the crown over the aron, well, the aron is where you have the Torah. Inside the aron, the Talmud says you have the luchos, and the writing of the luchos is charut al haluchot. On the writing of the luchos is engraved the Torah. Umilifnim laparochet munacha kaporet vezero, and it's inside the curtain of the Mishkan. Vashnai munachim lechutz laparochet. You see, the aron, its crown, the crown of Torah, is in the Holy of Holies, inside the curtain. And yet the other two, the shulchan and the mizbeach, are outside the curtain. So you see, hine lecha ki haTorah mechubedet min haShulchan. When we speak about the shulchan represents the royalty. Shu keneged shulchan hamlachim. So the shulchan, the bread, the economy, that's the king's job. So there, the crown of the shulchan represents the king. the Mizbeach. So on the Mizbeach, on that inner altar, all you would bring is the Ktores, the Kohanim would come and serve the incense. So that the Mizbeach represents the Keter Kuna, the crown of the Kohanim. You see, those two crowns were less holy. They were outside the curtain. The crown of Torah was more holy. It was inside. Another proof. You see, when it came to royalty and kahuna, Hashem says these are the families that have them. They Beit Lamalchut, we see in Jeremiah, Beit David, Komar Shem Dinu Lebokar Mishpat. God says to the house of David, you make sure to judge correctly. Beit LaKehuna, the house of Kehuna, it says, Beit Aaron, Beit Alevi, we say it in Hala, right? Beit Aaron, Baruch Hashem, it's called the house of Aaron. But when we speak about the crown of Torah, we're really talking about Yirat Shamayim. The crown of Torah is the awe of heaven. So when it comes to that, in Beit Miuchad, there's no special house. What does it say? Yir'ei Hashem Baruch Hashem. All those who have awe of Hashem should bless Hashem. It's telling you, whoever wants to can access it. V'chtiv, and the verse says, V'chol ha'makom she'azkir t'shmi avoylecha v'rechticha. Wherever you mention my name, I come and bless you. So, Torah, it's up to us. Anyone can take it. No one can say, you don't come from such a good family. You don't have such a good history. You can't come to our yeshiva. It doesn't work that way. Torah is available to whoever wants to work at it. You want to work at it. A person wants to be Yirei Shamayim, he can access it. And that's the first concept of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says there are three crowns, the Mishnah is telling you two are taken and one is available. Now, Keter Shem Tov Oleh Al Gabeim, the crown of a good name goes on all three. What does that mean? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Ratzah Lomar, the Mishnah means to say, Velaktarim Kulam Tzarich Keter Shem Tov, all the crowns require the crown of a good name. V'areu Talui B'Keter Torah. But Rabbeinu Yonah says, why isn't it considered a fourth crown? Because that depends on the crown of Torah. Ki B'ma Yesh La'adam Shem Tov. How do you get a good name? Im Lo Asher Yasok B'Torah V'Yikayem HaMitzvot. You have to learn Torah and observe the mitzvot. That's what the verse says in Koheles. Tov shem mi shem en tov. Ratza lomar, im yanech bebeito shem en afarsemon shu tov. Reach lov lanche beito v'shchinah v'akrovim. A person can bring home oils, what's called parsimon oil, that makes a good smell for him, for his house, for his neighbors. V'im itachek menumat lo yarechu bo. But if you walk away from the house, so the house, the smell stays in the house, no one can smell it. Avala muhtar b'shem tov, that he who has a good name, afilu umed b'keren zavit, so shomo olech misof olam atzofo. A person can be standing in the corner of a little shtibel, and his reputation goes out far and wide. Everyone heard of the Chafetz Chaim. He had a good name. Even non-Jews from all over would come to him. He was known. That's the tov shem. A good name is better than shem tov, than shemen tov, than good oil. Good oil can only affect the person and their immediate surroundings. A good name can go far and wide. That's the first part of the pasuk. Then Shlomo HaMelech says, the yom ha-mavet mi yomi valedo, and the day of death is better than the day a person is born. Ratzah lomar, what Shlomo HaMelech means to say is, kemo Hashem HaTov, yeter b'chashivuto al shemen tov, ken chashuv yom ha-mavet al yom ivaledo. Just as a good name is much better than good oil, so too the day of one's passing is much more important than the day one is born. Lemi sheniftar b'shem tov, if you made it to the end with a good name, you didn't ruin it. Not so easy. You can acquire a good name, can you hold on to it? You know why, says Rabbeinu Yonah, why people are so happy when a baby is born and they're so sad when a person dies? Because they really don't understand. Mashal l'mdina, this is like a certain country. You have one ship that's setting sail. You have another ship that's docking, that's coming into port. the ship that's docking, everyone makes a celebration, the ship is landing. L'zo shepogeshet, the ship that's setting sail, en osin kol ikar, they don't celebrate anything. V'alo anshei otayir shotim hem, what foolish people they are in that city. Ki ba'otah shenichneset l'sakanat hayam haya lehem nitpached aleha v'lo lismoch. When a ship goes out to sea, there's no room to be happy. You got to be worried. Uchsheyatzav nitzam nesakna gdola yaroil nagen v'lismoch. That's when a person should rejoice, when it comes to dock. Kach shenolad adam roil lefached alav. I think there's a misprint here. Yeah, okay, so I read it wrong. There isn't a misprint. She says, if they celebrate when the ship sets sail, so that's not smart. You want to celebrate when the ship docks. Yeah?
Says,
right, exactly. When the ship makes it back safely, then you could celebrate. That's how it goes when a person's born. You have to be concerned, is he going to go down a good path or not? The Medrash Rabbah says, look at how foolish people are. Really, when a person passes away from the world and they made it with a good name, there's room to be happy for them. And people are so foolish, they weep over them. So that's the Medrash. So Rabbeinu Yonah is focusing on one point. Obviously, there are laws of mourning. We discussed them last night. And maybe we have to discuss why we mourn. But Rabbeinu Yonah is saying the idea that the crown of a good name is what's necessary for all the crowns, and that can only be acquired through learning Torah and observing it. So then when a person performs the mitzvot, so then their good name goes all over. Now, what is a good name and why is it important? We'll discuss in a minute. Yes?
Should at the end of Tractate Sota that talks about there's like a list of rabbis that died, and there's a reaction after everyone. So the Kiva dies and everybody's really sad. And you know, Shulman Levi dies and everybody's really, really sad. Were they all wrong in that?
So I think Rabbeinu Yonah is pointing out, if what we're sad about is the world has lost and something treasured, that's okay. If we're sad for the person who died, there's nothing to be sad about. The person is better off. He's done. He made it. He made it. It's good for them. I think the point Rabbeinu Yonah is saying is, if you're celebrating the ship coming to dock, that makes sense. If people are crying because now we no longer have hope that this ship will bring us what we needed, you know, the ship came to dock and now the ship only has the goods A and B and C. We don't have access to that ship or what the ship could bring. That's a different thing. When a tzaddik passes away, so then we shouldn't be crying for the tzaddik. Tzaddik made it. We have a problem.
We lose the leadership.
Is that a big idea of mourning?
We'll get there in a minute. Yes?
That's what's so scary about that is because of this. First of all, very few people know, given their potential, that they made it. So there is a certain trepidation. What's even more scary, I think, is they say the sages debated whether we should have even been born, and the answer is better we didn't, but since we're here, which implies that most people don't make it in terms of their potential. So you could be sad, you know, that, I mean, it's right, it's crazy to be sad for the person that God decided your time's up, because if we feel, I was just on the way, was doing better, whatever, that's ego, it's crazy. Hashem decided that it's it. But to say big picture that, generally speaking, according to our sources, most people don't make it. Otherwise, why would they say such a thing? So that's scary. It's motivating. It's a good thing to be motivated to try not to slip into that. And who knows, given the the gifts and the genes. You know, we talked about it before. You said it yourself in that paragraph, you know, I don't want to feel eternal shame. But yeah, I use my gifts properly. Yeah, anyway.
I think Rabbeinu Yonah's point is they made it doesn't mean they're perfect.
Don't have to be.
They made it means they did well. They didn't do poorly. Could they have done better? You can assume. Everyone could have done better.
God expects perfection, but I'd be happy with. He's satisfied. If I gave this gift, if I made some starving whatever in Darfur, a Jew with my parents, he would have done that as well, maybe. That's good enough. You know, to say that we all, obviously, in order to get to improve, there has to be times we make mistakes. Otherwise, what are we doing here, right?
Okay, but I'm saying here, he's talking about, you made it. You made it doesn't mean I'm perfect. It means a person made it to in a good place. Yeah.
And we also have hope that sometimes I think even if we didn't make it first time around, maybe we'll get another shot. It's no cause to despair, but it is cause for some trepidation that we celebrate this birth with the assumption, which is nice, that the person is going to do right. But when we know the reality, it's a scary road out there. And the death, if the person clearly, as far as we can see, unless he fooled the whole world, lives a decent life, you're right. We should celebrate for him and to also. But as Jimmy said, and you said before, the world needs great people and leaders, and that's sad for us.
Yeah.
This person, even if it's not great, even if it's a family member who was